Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
Starlight and Campbell. Blow Them All to Pieces. That's from our third studio album, Starlight One, set for release on the 1st of September this year, and it's available to pre-order right now.
Well, there we go. Blow Them All to Pieces.
You wrote that one.
I did. On this album, unusually for us, we've some of the tracks we've actually allocated to one.
Well, that's because you wrote that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and really, it was in the fact I didn't have a lot of other input in terms of the actual writing of it, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
It sounds a bit odd, but that's the sort of way we do things, because normally we sort of interfere with each other's process, don't we? And so, much to, generally speaking, our individual annoyances. But that one, yeah, I wrote because I wrote the lyrics in a wanna. And the guitar was the first thing, because I'd just got this lovely new filed custom guitar, short scale, and I was tooling around with some different tunings, and all of a sudden I came up with this particular one. And this tuning, it's a very odd sort of D sus thing, and I heard it, Roger Mayer uses it in one of his tracks. I can't remember which track it is now, I should know, but he used it in E, and I just dropped the whole thing down to D, and it sounded really luscious. And the chord shapes are a bit different, because like the bass notes are like the major third. It's like, it's very odd, it's the way it actually works as a tuning.
Yeah.
And I just came up with it, and I started singing, and it just came in a wanna. And then the last section was something that sort of I bolted on virtually immediately. I picked up the 12 string, which is another filed custom guitar, because we've got them both at the same time. They're like brother and sister, if you like.
Yeah, family. And, into the stable.
Yeah, into the stable. And so I started messing around with that, and then I came up with that last section. And then between us, we put on all the synths and stuff. And
yeah.
I love your bass line on that. It's just absolutely beautiful. And you came up with some gorgeous lines at the end. But we threw it a little bit back to prog, because some of those synths are doubled with like really fuzz guitar, like you'd find from Mike Oldfield or something like that, you know, back in the day. So it is really interesting, and we use a lot of Moog on there, and Prophet, of course, you know, all that beautiful Prophet which you played, and you did all the chords. It really is. I love that piece, and I think it was the lyric came from, of course, if you listen to the lyrics, they're about war, of course, and it was sparked off by the invasion of Ukraine by Vladimir Putin's forces, and the war that has ensued from there, and the dreadful business. And, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people don't agree the fact that you know, we're talking about this war with Ukraine, because Ukraine before the war wasn't exactly whiter than white, you know.
No.
They had a lot of human rights issues, they had a lot of issues in the country, but you know, that happens all over the world, and if it, no matter where it is, if you know, Palestine is invaded by Israel or whatever, it's wrong, because, you know, it's a territory, and if there's so many places over the world where this is happening, so, but this was the spark off to the lyric, and I think that, you know, blow it all to pieces, blow them all to pieces, I should say, it's like a, it's such a vicious thing, because now we're seeing with drone action of people actually being blown up on the ground with drones, and you can see grenades or bombs being dropped, and men and women losing limbs and losing their lives instantaneously, and it's now available to see, and it is so disgusting and so horrible.
It's barbaric, isn't it?
But it's bringing the reality of war to everybody.
It's not a movie, though, is it?
This no,
is
it's not a movie.
This is
It's not a shoot 'em up game.
No,
you know, and this is reality, and it's such a disgusting and horrible thing. And I mean, we're watching Glastonbury this weekend, and I don't want to go on too much about it, but you know, we saw Yusuf I. Cat Stevens, aka, I should say, you know, and he's always been talking about peace. I mean, Peace Train from, I think it was Catch Bullet 4, was it? Teaser and Fire Cat. I had all those early albums because I love, there's about five or six songs that I absolutely do. Father and Son being one of my favourite songs of all time.
It
always makes me cry.
Always,
you know, because it thinks about the feeling between me and the lads, you know, the two boys that we have. You know, he's banging on about peace and he's been doing it for many years, you know, but he does it in quite a gentle way and quite, but this I wanted to put more of a direct correlation between the lyric and the actual event.
Well, I remember that morning when you were down at the gate talking to the postman and you came back and you said, "Our postman's from the Ukraine." And that was kind of what sparked it off as well, because he was saying to you, wasn't he? You telling me that he was really worried because his family was still there.
That's right.
I mean, that, when you've got a guy rocking up at your, you know, at your house with the post saying, "Oh, you know, I'm Ukrainian," it's that kind of real tangibility as well, isn't it? It's like you kind of go, "Oh, God." It's just, you know. And even now, I mean, it's very, like, Wagner, we've just found out now, it's part of the Russian state military. As if, you know, we didn't know.
Yeah, it's you know, and the thing is, the publicity that we get, and it is publicity, it's propaganda, you know, that we get, completely distorted because we don't know what the truth is anymore.
No.
All we do know is people dying, and that's the main thing.
And you know what? We're all really, we're all good people. The majority of us on this planet are really good people.
Oh, yeah, it's just we're ruled by a load of assholes normally. Anyway, but back to the music.
Oh, yeah.
And because I just want to talk about Ugu, Danin, who actually put the drums on that, of course, at the end. He's the only drummer who's worked on this record, who's going to come on tour with us. In September and October in the UK. It's our first tour for some time, and it's the first tour of the new material. But he came in on that, and when he came in, it was so powerful, you know, and I wanted to ram the drums right up in the thing, but it just wouldn't have worked, you know. It was a bit too much because it's such a great part he does, and it's such a big sound. But I just sort of have it, you know, quiet back. And the bass as well, because the bass, those lovely lines that you come out when you go up high, you know. But my favourite thing, the whole thing that you play on that, because you play basically everything again. I play a lot of the Moog lead stuff and the bass and lots of other stuff. Yeah. But the fife.
The fife!
Tell me about the fife.
I love that fife. Right, the story goes, when I was a teenager, I was working in a hotel kitchen on the weekends and I used my tips to go and buy a fife, which is like the descant recorder, but I always fancied playing the flute. So I got like the flute version of a descant recorder and I went down.
It's sideways on, isn't it?
Yeah, like sideways on. Yeah.
Yeah, in case you
and it's really short. I taught myself how to play it, but to get a note out of that bugger, I went down and sat on the banks of the River Wye over at Wilton Bridge. And I remember sat there and there's a field full of cows. I nearly passed out trying to get a note out of that thing. I was there for honestly, a good couple of hours ago, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to get this Ormishaw, you know, the way that your mouth goes to get a note out of it. And that's the day when it was about to rain and the cow started running around the field and I was walking out and I turned round and I kid you not, there were about 30 cows running towards me. And I just freaked out and froze. And this one cow slid in the mud on the ground and his legs went up like almost
sideways,
like on ice, right? And he just looked at me and he was coming straight for me and he stopped about 2 metres in front of me, like on the skid stopped. And I was just like, oh, shit.
Wow, what a great story.
But, so that fife, it's been with me all my life, really, since I was a teenager. And I was so deep joy, overjoyed to actually get to play it on this track. And
well, you did a great job. And the tricky thing is to play in tune and
stuff. The weird thing was as well, at the very, very end with the fight with the Zenon tube, it was complete spontaneous playing because I'd finished playing, I played the last notes, and then suddenly this Zenon tube that you'd got recorded came in.
Yeah, it's the plasma rack.
Yeah, the plasma
rack. Game Changer Audio Plasma Rack.
Yeah.
We love those guys.
So it started buzzing, so I started talking back to it, and it literally was a total conversation, because I didn't know what it was doing, and I was thinking as well about the song and about I was thinking about that nastiness, that horrible edge of war and of real evil killers, and me as a human being pleading for peace in my life, you know, like almost at the hands of somebody who was trying to kill me, you know, and it feels like almost like a moth to a flame in that sense. Yeah. But that was just organic, just totally at the moment. And I've got to say, well done. I know, and I don't want to sort of, it's not sort of narcissistic. I just want to say that I love that song, and that's a beautiful song that you've written, and I really respect the meaning for it. And so there you go. And that's on Starlight One, third track, and available to pre-order now from starlight-campbell.com, and Starlight's LITE. And very exciting. And thank you to everyone as well for pre-ordering. We've got 180 gram vinyl and CDs, and the lacquers have been cut at Abbey Road in London.
They have.
Mastered by John Astley. So the sound, produced by you, mastered by John Astley, who's worked with everyone. And it sounds so, so immense and beautiful.
Yeah,
and,
we're very happy with it.
We're very happy. And and the other thing as well, because we're getting some reviews starting to come in now, because we're just sending it out for review, and we had a great an amazing some responses, and we're going to put them on the website, but one came back and, you know, said, what a great concept album, fantastic, totally effusive. And it's like, it is, it's a concept album.
Because, I mean, the thing is, the way it is, it's, we're playing a track every week now for the next... this is the third track we've played, so we're going to carry on for the next few weeks. But it's supposed to be listened in a wanna, really. So what you're supposed to do, like a vinyl, you're supposed to do side A and side B. And we're still, of course, side A, we're on track three. But it does actually follow on.
Yeah.
And they're almost all connected, the songs. You know, there are very, very short gaps between them, and there's just respectful pauses in places. That's it. But other than that, you know...
Yeah.
And of course, this show, I should say, is all about Manchester. So the rest of the show,
Manchester.
Now, because I was born in Bury.
It's Radcliffe. You were born in Bury.
I was indeed. Radcliffe. And we're playing there at the Met.
Yes.
On
Friday, the 6th of October.
Thank
and
you.
It's a special, special, special night. So if you're living anywhere near Manchester and Bury, please get your tickets now, because it's going to be a we've got so many plans going on.
Yeah.
It's a multimedia one-off performance. We're recording it, and we're recording a video, and we'd really, really love to share that with you, and it's going to be so special.
So anyway, the rest of the show's about Manchester. Of course,
yes.
I'm from Manchester, so there we are. Susie's lived a lot of time in Manchester.
I have. Manchester's my spiritual home.
Tonight is all about Manchester and Starlight One. Saturday night, I was there. The Hollies, Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress, from the album Distant Light, released as a single on the 17th of April 1972 on Parlophone in the United Kingdom. It sold 2 million copies worldwide, wow, including 1.5 million in the United States. Amazing. Peaking at number 2 in the Billboard Hot 100 behind Gilbert O'Sullivan, Alone Again Naturally. Wow. But only 32 in the UK. It took the charts in South Africa and also reached number 2 in Australia and New Zealand.
How good does that track still sound today?
Well, it sounds great, yeah.
Fresh, frisky.
Well, it does. And, of course, it sounds like Creedence Clearwater Revival, basically. That's why it did so well in the States. And, of course, John Fogerty had something to say about it, and he sued the Hollies, claiming the vocal was too close to his trademark style. And it is, if you listen to it, even the bass, you know, it's very, very, very close.
Yeah, but there's a lot of bands that sound like that today. So what happens about all that then?
Yeah, well, it's. I think at the time, you know, because...
You're talking, you know, 72.
Yeah, it's pretty early on. I thought it was later than that, you know.
But, well, I didn't even know that the Hollies just came from Manchester. It's a weird one, isn't it? There's gaps in your knowledge. I mean, I know now from when we did the Hollies on the show the other month, but I'm so proud that they came from up north, love.
Well, yeah, it's incredible because they had a great string of hits, you know, in the 60s and great band, you know, great harmony vocals. And Graham Nash, of course, went on to Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
I know, he's living in Laurel Canyon. What a life. I wonder what took him over there. I think it's fantastic, you know.
Well, he just left, didn't he? I mean, I've no idea, but no. He just left. I think he probably loved America and, you know. He fell in love.
Yeah,
you know,
that
was all good.
What a life, though. Yeah. I mean, I love that era. I was just thinking about this the other week, actually, you know, the whole Laurel Canyon thing. I love what happened there, but I'm looking forward now to today and the life that I live today.
Yeah.
And looking forward to more of the music community actually hanging out. I think we need to, you know, and it's a little bit more difficult for us being in Portugal because obviously you've got the UK in the UK and all the bands that we know there. And so sometimes I think we miss that kind of music community, don't we, really?
We do, yeah.
Because there's kind of a scene and usually people go and see each other's gigs, you know, and you hang out and that's kind of that thing. But, you know, we've been touring and working through Europe and it's a whole different adventure. But when we do get to hang out, it's the best, isn't it, really?
my sister. Let me put you in the picture. Let me show you what I mean. The Messiah is my sister. Ain't no king, man, she's my queen. Let me put you in the picture. Let me show you what I mean. The Messiah is my sister. Ain't no king, man, she's my queen. Let me put you in the picture. Let me show you what I mean. The Messiah is my sister. Ain't no king, man, she's my queen. Let me put you in the picture. Let me show you what I mean. The Messiah is my sister. Ain't no king, man, she's my queen. Let me put you in the picture. Let me show you what I mean. The Messiah is my sister.
The Stone Roses, Love Spreads, and that's from their second and final studio album, Second Coming, released on the 5th of December 1994 on Geffen Records.
Well, I've got a story about the Stone Roses.
Have
of
you?
Course. Yeah, I've got lots of stories because it's all to do with Hacienda. And I was one of the team responsible for installing the last sound system that was ever installed there. New Order paid for it, of course, because factory were broke. And it was a den of drug-taking iniquity. All the things that you hear about it are nowhere near as dramatic as the reality. But anyway, I was there one night, and we just put the sound system in, and there were these bands rocked up, scraggy-looking dudes, you know, and Mike Pickering from M People, who was the DJ at the time, upstairs, we'd just done the DJ booth, so I was talking to him, and he said, I said, who's the band on tonight? He said, oh, I said, some blokes, some rock band or something, because it's a dance club, you know, the Hacienda, all that, started the real big dancing in the UK. I said, what they call? He said, well, they call the Stone Roses. Anyway, I didn't bother staying to watch the show, but anyway, that was the very start of them. But, you know, that band are so connected with Manchester, formed in Manchester in 1983, and one of the pioneering groups from the Madchester movement.
The blokes movement.
Yeah, in the late 80s and early 90s. And, you know, the lineup, Ian Brown, of course, who features in Harry Potter.
Of course, right. Stirring.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
His drink.
Guitarist John Squire, who doesn't, but you're going to mention him in a minute anyway. Bassist Manny and drummer Rennie.
Yeah.
But the create. I remember when hearing the album when it first came out, and it was just amazing. The first album, you know, absolutely incredible.
Really?
And yeah. Oh, yeah. It just blew me away. Completely blew me away. And
what was it about then?
But it was just so different because it was like guitars. And guitars had made an appearance again. There were solos and there was stuff going on. And this track is from the second album, of course, Second Coming.
Yeah.
And basically it's a blues rock song. That's what it is. It's blues rock. It's got the slide guitar. It's a very similar... well, it is. It's a, you know, 1-4-5 type progression. Ian Brown's moaning over it like he always does. You know, he's not got a great voice, but he's Ian fucking Brown, isn't he? He can do what he wants. But when they reformed, you know, they did those sold out. Was it a few sold out shows? Heaton Park, and they did in Merseyside on an island near. I can't remember the name of it now, but God's teeth, they were massive, and they got paid huge amounts of money to do it. And I remember going to Stuart Palmer, and you were in the car, I think, because where his workshop is in Doncaster. Slightly,
oh, you can't leave a car.
You can't really leave your car with anything in it. Yeah. So I went in and I was talking to him, and he said, have a play of this. And it was a really old, like 50s, 58 classic Les Paul, you know, flame top, beautiful guitar, you know, he played it. He said, yeah, it's £250,000. I said, what do you mean? And I said, and I'll tell you who owned it. He said, it was John Squire.
Aha.
So that's the story. And also the other connection is that... Trevor Taylor, Old Square One in Bury. And if you're listening, Trevor, you are there. In Florida. He's in Florida. He listens to the show and all that. He owns Square One. And they booked Square One for 12 months, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They were songwriting for this album. And then they went down to Rockfield. But it seems like they've had a bit of a rough ride on that. I think it was about 5 years between the first album and the second one. And lots of reports about, you know, who knows what went on, where there was too much expectation. I think John Squire had a kid and they were trying to get together, and they said, like, they'd turn up at Rockfield on the Monday and they rocked up 2 days later. And so Leckie quit. And it was just, I think it took another 14 months and cost like £250,000 to get the album finished. So it's
drugs.
Odd.
Yeah, imploded.
Probably. Yeah. Well, I don't know, actually, and I wouldn't like to say, but there's something that happened, and it feels like they didn't quite... and they also, when they came back with this album, there were a load of new boy bands and Britpop sort of stuff happening as well at that time. So it was like being away. And I've got a story about Ian Brown as well, because I worked on the Manchester New Year's Festival for... 2000.
Right.
And he was headlining.
Ah, right.
So, yeah, I was on stage. I was helping stage manage. So, yeah, Stone Roses.
You gotta say, so come.
Happy Mondays, of course. Kinky Afro, the second single released from their third album, Pills and Thrills and Bellyaches, on the 8th of October 1990 on Factory Records. We were talking about Factory before. It's the band's biggest hit in the United States, reaching number one in the US Billboard Modern Rock Tracks chart and number five in the UK, tying with Step On as the band's highest charting single.
Another boy band.
Yeah, and very troublesome. You know, I mean, there's no doubt Sean Ryder, who we've talked about over the past few weeks on different shows, because this is another show that we're doing on Manchester, which, because we're playing there, and we're doing like a series of shows based upon the towns or cities that we're playing in our October and September tour in the UK.
Indeed.
And Manchester, we're playing Bury, of course, Bury Met.
Friday the 6th of October.
That's
get
right.
Your tickets now.
Get your tickets now.
See.
Because they're going very quickly, which is brilliant, actually. Multimedia performance. So anyway, the Happy Mondays, Sean Ryder.
I know.
Our friend Paul Husband has taken a lot of photographs of him. And, of course, he's after photographer, and he's been taking a lot of photographs of us, of course, and Elbow and all the Manchester lot, really. So we're we're very thrilled that we're in this exhibition.
Yeah, it's really lovely that, you know, because I'm like an honourable Mancunian, because I spent I went to uni at Salford, and I lived there for like 15 years, and that's really where I found that I found me, you know, like my creative me.
Yeah.
So it's such an honour, because actually at the time it was very blokey. I was in a folk band, like made Marian dresses and everything, and long blonde hair down to my waist.
I don't know how you got on, baby, tell you the truth.
Folk rock.
Yeah. But, in Manchester at that time.
I know.
It was all, you know.
But I like songs, you see. I love the melody and I like that and stuff. So it was interesting, though. Did you notice a bit of Lady Marmalade in there as well?
I did. Yeah, I did.
I think All Saints did a cover of that as well as La Belle. Because I think Mr. Bell did, it was the original. But Gucci,
there was an awful lot of trouble with the recording of this, as you would do with the Happy Mondays, because they're another, well, Manchester, you see, and the whole drug scene. It was massive then, you know, everybody was on everything. And produced by Paul Oakenfold, of course, a DJ, and Steve Osborne, and recorded at Capitol Studios in Hollywood, written by the whole band, Sean Ryder, Paul Ryder. He's sadly dead, his brother on bass, Mark Day, Paul Davis, and Gary Whelan. And, but, of course, you know, they all went over with their wives in L.A., and I think it was absolute mayhem, you know. So I think they did it, Paul Oakenfold probably did a very good job in keeping it all together.
I love these. I'll tell you one thing I was thinking about this from the other chat as well. So they were formed in Salford in 1980.
Yeah.
And I don't know when did you go to Salford? Because I was there in 90.
Oh, God, 70s, baby.
Oh, okay. So, and they were initially signed to Factory Records. So you've got that whole scene. And what I love about the fact is when they went over to New York and they got the CBGB scene, and they went and they absorbed all that energy and then they brought it back and they were here, weren't they? I know they recorded there, but it connected here. And that's just something that...
But they were quite funky. I mean, and the thing is as well, which I never got at the time, I still don't really get now, is the Bez situation, because you got this guy, and we're not exactly sure what he does. He gets his maracas out occasionally, but he just dances.
Yeah.
But Sean Ryder won't play a gig without him because he's always on stage. And but it was an energy, you know. And Bez there, it was like he was loafing around and fooling around on stage. But it was a carnival when you saw these guys live. Yeah. And Tony Wilson, who I did know reasonably well, he reckoned that Sean Ryder was one of the best songwriters he'd ever worked with.
Yeah. And Paul Husband says he's a really lovely guy as well. And there's a great family portrait of them all sat on the sofa, which I thought was brilliant. As well as the classic, though, is Sean with an umbrella on a bench at night with it's raining. It's so atmospheric. It's
brilliant photograph.
It's stunning. You want to check it out. It's Paul Husband photography. Brilliant. But the Happy Mondays, happy people. We'll be right back.
but so don't you know. Now put your faith up in the sky. I see the blues in my eyes. Now it's starting to dawn. Some shimmering things, seen a vision of things. I'm so dumb, don't you know? I'm stealing energy, some for you, some for me. The darkness comes, the night will fall.
Johnny Marr, Spirit, Power and Soul. And that was released as the lead single from his fourth studio album, Fever Dreams, which was released on the 25th of February 2022 on the new Voodoo label under license to BMG. And it's his first double album. And before that, there were two EPs, Fever Dreams Part 1 and 2. And the album peaked at number 4. Well done, Johnny. This is the highest chart position for his solo albums. That's cool. So Johnny Marr, Manchester.
Yeah.
And today's show is all about Manchester.
It sure is,
because
yeah.
Because we're on tour with Starlight and Campbell and playing at the Met, Bury, on Friday the 6th of October. And we're going to see you there, aren't we?
We certainly hope so.
The Johnny Marr's cool, isn't he? Jingle jangle.
He is more
jangly
than cool.
Jangly guitar
because,
man.
You know, when you talk about guitar players from the UK, of course, John Squire from the you know, from...
Ooh, of course.
Roses, you know. I'm a great guitar player. Ooh, yeah, great guitar player. But Johnny Marr, he really put another spin and another mark on British guitar playing. He really, really did. Because, of course, he was in the Smiths. And when I first heard those Smiths songs, and I was going to put a Smiths song in tonight, actually, you know, because we were programming the show. But I thought, why don't we just put Johnny in? Because he was also performing at Glastonbury last weekend. That's right. And he was on with the Pretenders. And he did a fantastic job with the other guitar player, and whose name escapes me. I'm going to come back to him in a minute, because he's a fantastic guitar player from Britain, another one. But he was playing alongside Chrissie Hynde, and it was just fantastic. He was really great. But he's got such a great sound. This track is interesting because it's extremely electronic, and the video is fantastic for it.
Yeah, it's really cool, actually.
Tunnel, and he's got this guitar. It's like a Strat type thing with about 19 pickups on, which apparently he actually used on. It's just loads of single coil pickups. It's an incredible looking thing. But fantastic. And I've never heard a track so compressed for a long time. If you look at it on the screen, because we've got Pro Tools, we can see what's up. It's like a flat block of sound as opposed to any dynamics in it all. But it kind of works for me. It really, really does.
This guy, though, I don't really know much about it, because obviously, you know, now that I'm married to you and working together musically, and now I've discovered my instrument, i.e. the bass, it's like I'm starting to understand musically now the blokes bands that I didn't when I was in my folk band singing. Wasn't singing about ships or oceans or anything like that, just so you know. It was it was very much contemporary stuff. I get him. I mean, what was weird as well at Glastonbury is you had Rick Astley doing a Smiths cover set with the Blossoms.
Yeah.
And then you've got Johnny Marr playing with the Pretenders on a different stage. It was a bit weird. And, of course, like the whole Smiths thing. But you see, what I always get inspired by is that, you know, sometimes a band can define you as a musician and you go on because you're still creating.
Yeah.
And not all musicians can make it, can they, and make a career after they've left an amazing world famous band. And I think good on you, Johnny, you know, because he's worked with loads of other people. He's been with Electronic, Modest Mouse, The. And he's a session musician with Pet Shop Boys, Talking Heads, Brian Ferry,
Hans Zimmer. Well, but he's got such a unique sound. And, I mean, the thing is that he can't get away from Manchester because, well, Electronic, of course, with Bernard from New Order.
Of course, Sumner.
Another fantastic Manchester band, you know. You know, Bernard, he can't play, he can't sing, but... He's Bernard Sumner. He's brilliant.
He's got something, isn't
he? He's got a lot, because, I mean, they've got a massive, New Order. Yeah. How does it feel? It's a terrible vocal, but it's fantastic, the track. And we're going to play it over the next few weeks. I'm sure we're going to do another show on Manchester, because the thing is, because I'm from Manchester, I know so much about the scene. I know virtually, well, not everybody, but I know an awful lot of people from that scene, you know. It's fantastic. Yeah. But what I love about Johnny Marr is his passion for guitars. He's got a huge collection. And a mate of mine, Paul Wright, he supplies a lot of his guitars to my house over the past. But he's just he just loves music. He loves guitar. And also he looks really, really cool.
As I walked along the supposed golden path, I was confronted by a mysterious specter. He pointed to the graveyard over on yonder hill. I paused in cosmic reflection, confused and wondering of how I came to die. I was confused, for if I was dead, how and why did I die?
myself and decided I should face it. But I stood paralyzed on the supposed golden path, and I was confronted by a powerful demon force. They said it was the devil, and when he spoke, his words flowed like glowing lava from the mouth of a volcano. And I said, help me, Lord,
help me, Lord, help me, Lord.
I found myself in some kind of hell. But I did not believe in a heaven and hell, world in opposites kind of reality. And I gained control of myself, and I decided to press on. And as I walked along the supposed golden path, I was trembling with fear. Oh, the lions and wizards yet to come, I seen in the distance silver mountains rising high in the clouds, and a voice from above did whisper some shining answer from the womb.
Never sing properly in tune? No, but it doesn't matter. That's the Chemical Brothers, the Golden Path, from their first greatest hits album, singles 93-03, released on the 22nd of September 2003 on Freestyle Dust and Virgin Astral Works. Oh, record labels. It features the Flaming Lips, of course, with lead vocals by Wayne Coyne and Steve Droys on backing vocals. You know something?
What?
They've had 6 number one albums in the UK and 13 top 20 singles, including 2 chart toppers. In the United States, they've won 6 Grammy Awards, including Best Rock Instrumental Performance, Best Dance Recording, and Best Dance Electronic Album of the Year as recently as 2020. From Manchester, what a band.
The Chemicals. It's crazy. It's great, though. Manchester, though, it's such a vibrant place for musicians.
Holy shit.
It's like Mecca, in a way, for just being so cool. I don't know. I've not lived there for a bit, so I don't know what it's like now. But it's for me, it's just, it nurtures you, doesn't it? There's so many. There were so many venues that you could just cut your teeth at.
Well,
brilliant.
But these guys and the dance music scene. You see,
yeah.
That one with the Hacienda, it all kicked off there.
Yeah,
and, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
808
yeah.
Stay and all these guys. You know, they were doing amazing stuff, really amazing stuff. But I just particularly love that song. It's one of my favourite tracks. It's up there, you know, probably in the top 20 tracks of all time for me. And it was really the first time I got introduced to Wayne Coyne, you know, because of his vocal. I thought, who the hell's that? And then I found the Flaming Lips. Of course, back in 2003, it's a long time ago. Anyway, there we go.
Well, that's the other thing, though. I love that sort of collaboration. And apparently what happened was that Wayne was saying they just kind of recorded it in a one-er, almost really quickly, almost flippantly, because they thought they'd get a second chance at it, right? And then Tom and Ed from the Chemicals left a message within 20 minutes of receiving the tape, jumping around the room. Just they were ecstatic, you know. They really loved what they did, which I really like that, you know, that sort of lightness of creativity when you're just in it and you're not thinking about expectation. You're just really getting into the music and that's it. I mean, and there's a naturalness about it, which is really quite refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, because on that album as well, they did, because I think The New Order on one of them, aren't they? Bernard is on one of them.
Bernard.
Bernard Sumner from New Order, different guy. You know, and also the Oasis guys. Both of them, Liam and Noel, sing at a track. How does it feel like to wake up in the sun?
Yeah, you do it anyway, really well. Yeah. Of course you would. You're a northern man. But so it's nearly time to finish the show, darling. Yeah, it is. See, the Supertone Show is a weekly one-hour show, and it goes so quick.
It certainly does. You can find it on vibes.starlight-campbell.com. That's where you find our podcast. And also, don't forget to pre-order the album, which released on the 1st of September. And on next week, the single coming out on the 7th.
Oh, yeah, we're releasing our first single from Starlight 1.
Just drop that in right at the end, so you've got to wait to the end. The UK tour tickets on sale now, of course, from starlight-campbell.com.
Yeah, and also if you're around the Manchester area, because obviously this show is all about Manchester, and we've got some. I think Paul Husband's coming to take photographs of the night as well.
There's a whole herd of them.
Oh yeah, and we've got this amazing. I'm talking to some creative practitioners as well. We're going to do something really, really special. So you can get your tickets direct from the met.org.uk, and we'll see you real soon.